Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. My name's Jordan.
And I'm Kate.
And have you ever wanted to get off your birth control but not get pregnant? Or are you wanting to get pregnant and think it can happen every day of the month? This episode, you'll learn the answers and how-tos to all your questions surrounding fertility with Clean Living with Carly. Carly is a holistic fertility practitioner and is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to cervical mucus, tracking ovulation, and so much more. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. All right. Hi, Carly. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
All right. Let's just get into it. Maybe tell us about your background, how you got into this, and yeah, just your story.
Sure. So I am a holistic reproductive health practitioner and a certified fertility awareness educator. This is very much like a second career for me. I worked in special education for a decade, and then I really dove headfirst into this whole world of cycle tracking and fertility awareness methods and using your body as birth control, really just on my own journey. I had been on birth control for, oh gosh, I think almost like 15 years. And I went on like most women did. You know, I think I was right when I went to college, because that was kind of the thing you did, right? Like, everybody was on the pill. It was kind of the cool thing. We all had our alarms going off at the same time, like in our dorm rooms, like, oh, time for the pill. And I never really thought much about it. Like, I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know it was suppressing ovulation. I had no idea what it was doing to my mood and so many things that it was impacting in my body. So I had kind of on the side started working with a functional medicine practitioner for some health stuff, because I, like, unfortunately, a lot of women in our country were completely gaslit by my PCP over some symptoms that I was dealing with. And she insisted that I was the pillar of health. Turns out I had a mega hormone imbalance and my thyroid was not functioning properly. And so I started working with her, and, you know, through a lot of like diet, kind of lifestyle supplement things, I was feeling better, but I was still dealing with a lot of mood swings, honestly, like a lot of irritability, a lot of up and downs. And now I can look back at it and I'm like, God bless my husband for staying with me for all that, because like, I got a little crazy, to be completely honest with you. And like, I couldn't figure it out. So finally, my practitioner was like, you know, have you ever thought about, I think I was on an IUD at that point, right? Because OBs love IUDs. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's so easy. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to take a pill. So I got an IUD, and my functional provider was like, you know, have you ever thought about just maybe for a little while coming off of hormonal birth control to see how it was impacting you? And maybe it's not at all. And then you just go back on, right? Or maybe it is. So I got my IUD out. I remember talking to my OB. I think I was just about 30 then. And I remember talking to her and telling her, like, we're not trying to get pregnant. We weren't even married at the time. And I was like, I'm not trying to get pregnant, but, you know, I'm kind of coming off as a bit of an experiment for my health. And she laughed at me and she said, okay, see you in 6 months when you're pregnant. I was like, cool. Thanks for that. Thanks for your support. I came off. Sure enough, you guys, I was a completely different woman, completely different woman. I rediscovered my libido. I wasn't crazy anymore. Like, my mood was more stable. I wasn't having these like crazy, like rage fits out of nowhere. I was happier. I was just a completely different person. So I came off, I found fertility awareness methods. I learned that I can pretty easily, honestly, prevent unwanted pregnancy and then use the same method to get pregnant when we were ready. And I've been using it ever since. It changed my life. And I was like, okay, I need to be able to teach women this gift of what I consider like body literacy. So I went back to school, I got certified, and now I'm like, I can't believe this is what I get to do with my life, you know?
Yeah, how cool you get to help. I mean, it really does change your life when you like wake up to like getting off birth control and just like, even if you were never on birth control, I still feel like women don't know how to track their cycles. And like, it is so empowering knowing like what's going on with your body. And they don't teach us that in public school.
They sure don't. I was taught that I could get pregnant at any point in my cycle. No one ever talked to me about cervical mucus. I didn't know what that was until my 30s. Like, What? Like, and I remember being in middle school and like, you know, sometimes you see white stuff on your underwear when you go pee in school and it's like, the hell is this? And no one talked to me about it. You know, my mom, you know, she did her best and she told me about my period, you know, but I'm sure she didn't even know this stuff. So yeah, it's really cool. I think we're kind of in this moment of an awakening with women where we're like, we're going to reclaim our power. Because to me, you can't have your power when you completely suppress your body and how it's supposed to work, right? Like, so yeah, we're kind of a cool time where we're starting to believe women more and we're starting to realize that there are other options out there.
Yeah. Can you just imagine if schools just took the extra step and like just explained it to women like, okay, these are the days you can get pregnant. These are the days you actively want to avoid, you know, like it's just, it's so crazy because I went to Catholic school and we were essentially told you can get pregnant. I like remember my principal telling us this. You can get pregnant at any time. We are Catholic. We do not use contraceptive. You will not have sex until you're married. And it's like, I understood her heart in it, but it's like, most people aren't doing that. So you might as well just, you know, help people out a bit and tell them the truth and give them the tools to prevent teen pregnancy and, you know, pregnancy if you're not trying before marriage, all that stuff. It's just so crazy. And it's like, I already don't love the school system, but it's it's just like such, we're doing people such disservice by not telling them the full truth and just being like, all right, birth control or get pregnant. And
yeah. That's really, that's how they present it. I could not agree more. I think we will change the world if we can raise young girls and boys, because I think it's important for boys to understand too. But I just think like, would I have chosen to go on the pill at 18? I wasn't even sexually active at that time. So would I have done that if I had known? If I had known how it was impacting me, if I had true informed consent, which I don't know a single woman out there who has gotten informed consent around birth control, not a single woman. And if I had known that, and if I had known that I could take control of my reproductive health by just learning about my body, learning about my cycle, understanding that ovulation is the main event, not your period, right? And it's like, I just think it's hard not to look back and be like, wow, how different was my life? But you know what? Now I have a daughter and now I'm going to make sure she has a different experience. So I think that's all we can do. We can help this generation, you know?
And it's like, I only remember getting education in fifth grade. I don't remember anything beyond that. Like, first off, I'm in fifth grade. I'm not going to retain much of that. I remember like the scary AIDS video, like we're all going to die type of thing. And like, where was it in middle school and high school when my periods were actually starting? And I went on birth control at 15. With that's crazy. Like you mentioned informed consent. I don't think doctors even have the informed consent. Like they're not informed on birth control either. Obviously my mother wasn't. She had to be there for me to get birth control. It's like I went on birth control for heavy periods.
I'm sure they told your parents that it would fix it, but really it's just masking it. And that's that to me is like the biggest issue. Like I fully support that women know what's best for their bodies. And if birth control is what you want to do, that's fine. As long as you know what it's doing. And so we put these young girls on the pill for heavy periods, for acne, for painful cramps. We don't help parents or young girls understand that for a while in the beginning, like your periods might be heavier. They're going to be irregular. The pill is not going to fix the root cause of any of those things. It's just going to slap a Band-Aid on. And then eventually, if you come off, whether you're going to try to, you know, start your family or whatever, then all of those issues are going to come back with a vengeance. And then you might struggle to get pregnant because you don't have a healthy cycle, right? And then you look at the statistics around young girls starting birth control and how that increases their risk of depression and suicidality for the rest of their life by like over 100%. Like this, the data is insane. And it's like, man, are pediatricians or like OBs, are they talking to parents about this? When they're writing scripts for 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, probably not, you know? And I just think we can't make empowered decisions about our body without all of the information.
It's also, it should be criminal. Somebody should be held liable because if a parent knew, like, hey, you're going to put your kid on birth control and this is a carcinogen, like, this can cause cancer, I think nobody would be doing it just with that fact alone. And it's just so crazy that, like, one time I posted that on my story, and so many people swiped up and were like, why would you fearmonger? That's not true. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
literally go. You can literally Google this. And they're and so they would go and Google it. And they're like, oh, my God, I had no idea. And it's just like so many people are just walking around taking birth control, having no idea that there can be long term side effects. It's just it's insane.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
I also relate to you when you were like, I became a completely different person when I stopped birth control.
Yeah.
I went off around the age of 25. I never really wanted kids. And as soon as I went off, I was like, I want kids. Like, this is beautiful. I want kids with the man I love. And like, I could quit my anxiety medicine. I was just like literally a different person. It's kind of crazy. I always see like, you know, those women screaming like, I never want kids, or like, I don't know, this and that. And I'm just like, are you on the pill? Like, I wonder what you would be like if you were not on the pill.
That is hilarious, because I also did not want kids. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Like, and I also like, there's a lot of data to show that it's a little scary, but who we're attracted to is different
than
hormonal birth control. Have you guys heard that? Like, that is bananas. Like, what? This is just crazy. This is crazy.
But it is crazy.
You know, anytime you complain about anything to your OB, it's like, oh, go on the pill. And then after you give birth, I mean, so many women have told me that they are literally like on the operating table or in the, you know, recovery room trying to like latch, and they have a nurse talking to them about their birth control. What's your plan with birth control? And I'm like, what? And again, no one's talking to postpartum women about how much that's impacting their nutrient depletion, right? Like, oh, yeah, I could rant about this all day.
It's literally insane, because I've had women message me and after I've like talked about birth control, and they will say the same thing, like, they had kids, got on birth control because that's what their doctor said. And then they were like, I don't want to be a mom anymore. Like, this, I don't want to be a mom. I am not, motherhood is not for me. Like, why did I get myself into this? They got off of the birth control, whether it was an IUD or the pill. And they were like, oh my God, I love motherhood. Like, this is so fulfilling. I love it so much. But most women don't connect the dots that like, hey,
right,
your birth control can be causing XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like, if you truly don't want kids, you want to be on birth control, like that's totally fine. I just wish that there was informed consent all around instead of having such gaps. Also, I wish like teenagers and moms just knew that like, just because your daughter is having heavy periods or period cramps, like, you can fix it, and it doesn't just have to be a Band-Aid solution. Like, you can completely fix it naturally and not have to depend on birth control.
Right. Yep. 100%.
I've actually seen birth control used in a good way for like mothers who had to use a surrogate or something to induce lactation. Have you heard of that happening?
Yeah. And it can also, I mean, it has its place. Like, I think about like women with things like endometriosis who are dealing with like debilitating pain every month, right? Like, there's always going to be a risk-benefit analysis. But if you're not told about the risks, how can you make that decision? Or like women with IVF, so many women go through IVF and they're told they have to go on the pill, right? So it's the same kind of thing with like suppressing ovulation for a period of time, but you don't have to, right? There is another option, but no one talks about it. And then we're just in this interesting time where those of us who are trying to educate around informed consent, like you said, we're getting accused of being anti-woman or fear-mongering. And I'm like, what? No. I want women to be empowered to make the best choices for their bodies, but we can't do that with the way things are right now.
I successfully avoided pregnancy. I wanted to avoid when I got off birth control. I was 25. And I avoided for like 5 years till we were ready. And every time I talk about that, women are like, they'll reach out to me and say, I am so scared of getting pregnant. I would rather just be on this birth control. Like, how did you do that? And so for me, I am like, when I do something, I'm like all in. So I like, you know, did all the reading and all the research. And like, I call myself a professional without like the actual the certifications and everything. And I know there's a whole career out there for people who are, you know, good at that stuff. But so where would someone start if they are like, I want to avoid, but I'm scared to get pregnant? What should be their first step?
So your first step is not natural cycles. Just got to throw that out there, because I know that's having a moment. And there are, I mean, I don't even know how much they must spend on ads and marketing and influencers, because not a day goes by where I don't see some sort of advertisement for natural cycles. So basically, you have some options. And I'll talk a little bit about natural cycles if I can. So there is kind of this umbrella term called fertility awareness methods. Now, the non-secular term would be like natural family planning. So that originated in the Catholic Church, right? Because you think about like pre-Cana and things like that. That's how it started, so that families could not use contraceptives, but have that family planning aspect where they only get pregnant when they want to. So that's kind of the religious aspect piece. And then there's fertility awareness methods, which is more of the umbrella term. So there's a few different options you can do. Basically, we are looking to identify our body's fertile window by tracking our biometrics. you can track your basal body temperature, which is your resting metabolic temperature. You take it first thing in the morning, like as soon as your eyes wake up. This temperature is lower in the first half of our cycle, which is our follicular phase. So during our period, as we gear up for ovulation, which again, ovulation, ladies, biggest, most important event of your cycle, not your period. So ovulation is when we actually release the egg, right? If we could only get pregnant when we release that egg, which that egg survives for about 12 to 24 hours, there would not be a lot of babies in this world. It would be very difficult to get pregnant. So our bodies, which are very wise, have a fertile window of 6 days each cycle. And this is because our cervical mucus, which is not gross, which is incredibly magical. And as soon as you can learn about that, you can just learn so much about your body. But our cervical mucus can keep sperm alive for up to 5 days leading up to ovulation. So our cervical mucus can allow sperm to actually swim, right, up to our fallopian tubes. When we don't have cervical mucus, like this, like fertile cervical mucus, the sperm literally die within like minutes of ejaculation. Like it's crazy. But when we are fertile and we have our fertile window open, we have this cervical mucus, and it should sometimes change. Like for a lot of women, it will start out more like creamy, sticky, lotiony. Like it'll kind of have the consistency of like glue. It might be a little pasty. And then as we approach ovulation, our estrogen rises because cervical mucus is produced in response to rising levels of estrogen. That usually transitions to more of that like stretchy, kind of clear, what a lot of women call like egg white cervical mucus, right? And then we ovulate. And for most women, after ovulation, we have a pretty significant change and we dry up and we don't have mucus for the rest of our cycle. Now, some women still do. So some women never have dry days, but I would say the majority have that really abrupt change after we ovulate. So in that first half of our cycle, our BBT or resting metabolic temperature is a little bit lower. And then after ovulation, estrogen drops, progesterone rises, and our progesterone stays elevated through the rest of our cycle. And then everything drops right before our period to our lowest point. If you're pregnant, that progesterone will stay elevated for your pregnancy. Progesterone, you can think of as like your progestation hormone, right? It is critical to have like robust amounts of progesterone to get and stay pregnant. So progesterone also revs up our body's metabolism, which revs up our temperature. So after ovulation, you'll see this shift where your BBT goes up and it stays elevated for the rest of your cycle. So BBT is one biomarker that we can track. Now, where things like natural cycles get it wrong is BBT is a retroactive biomarker of ovulation. So it confirms ovulation after it happens. It does not open our fertile window, which is why, unfortunately, a lot of women out there get pregnant accidentally on natural cycles. And if you look at natural cycles data, they'll say it's user error, but actually these women will get like a green day, which is, if you've never used natural cycles, it's your green is good. You know, you're infertile. You can go unprotected. And then the algorithm will learn a little bit more and then it will realize that it messed up. And then it will retroactively change that green day to a red day, which is, oh, fertile day. You could get pregnant. And sure enough, thousands and thousands and thousands of women get pregnant. So that is why natural cycles or like Daisy, any of these where it's only temperature, it's not enough. So when you're tracking temperature, you also need to be tracking cervical mucus because that opens and closes our fertile window. Now, there are symptothermal methods of fertility awareness where you're tracking your BBT and your cervical mucus. Some women have no interest in tracking their BBT. Or maybe they, you know, don't get consecutive sleep or they do like shift work. They don't get up at the same time each morning. So BBT might be a little trickier for them. So there's also methods where you're only tracking cervical mucus. That's how important cervical mucus is. So you can use a method to avoid pregnancy with just cervical mucus. Or there are some symptohormonal methods where you're using things like Clear Blue fertility monitors, things like that. And sometimes women will also track BBT. So those are kind of all of the options underneath the umbrella of fertility awareness methods. So where I recommend starting is just learning a little bit about them and deciding, okay, do I want to track, you know, my urine metabolites? So I want to pee on little test strips every single day in my cycle. Do I want to track BBT? Do I want to, you know, only track cervical mucus? And then from there, you can kind of decide which method might be appropriate. There are methods that you can self-teach. I did that initially when I first started. I used the book, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which I highly recommend for all women. It's just kind of your one-stop shop for everything that we should have been taught about our bodies. But it's a bit of a beast, I will say. And so that's how I started. And then through my program, I got to learn from a certified instructor. And the difference in my confidence was night and day. So if you can work with a certified instructor, and I'm not just saying that as one, there are so many out there, and you know, you might want to find a different method than like what I teach, that will 100% be the best way to do it. Because ultimately, this is a skill that in my mind is best learned from other women, right? So I kind of liken it to breastfeeding. In my opinion, breastfeeding is the most natural thing in the world, and it's also a learned skill. And so for me, I wanted to breastfeed. That was a huge priority. I learned from an expert. I learned from an IBCLC. I think fertility awareness methods are similar. It's the most natural thing in the world to understand your body. It is the most natural thing in the world to be able to time getting pregnant if you want to by maximizing your chances, or to avoid pregnancy without pumping your body with synthetic hormones. That to me is natural. And it's also a learned skill. And for me, having self-taught and then getting to learn from an expert who got to look at my charts and help me with my corrections, and she helps me navigate postpartum, which postpartum charting is wild. I will tell you that. Like, there's just so much variability. So that to me is, you can't put a price on that, really, to just have that confidence and have that instructor with you. So those are kind of all of your options with fertility awareness methods in a nutshell.
I know that's like probably seems so intimidating to women too, listening to all that. But it really, once you understand it, it's like the easiest thing in the world to do for yourself too. And like you said, like, it's the most natural thing. You feel so normal and empowered and like just normal. Like you said, it's just so natural.
Mm-hmm. And I always know where I'm at in my cycle, which is really cool. So the nice thing about learning a fertility awareness method or, you know, natural family planning is you only have to learn it once, and then you have this skill for the rest of your reproductive life. Mm-hmm. But like, I learned a method years ago. I avoided pregnancy with ease, right? And, you know, there's a little nuance to that. So during your fertile window, you have to decide what you and your partner are comfortable with. To use a method perfectly, and these methods are legit, you guys. Like, they are up to 99.6% effective at preventing unwanted pregnancy, which if anyone out there doesn't know, that's better than a lot of hormonal birth control. Mm-hmm. So these are real scientific methods and they work. And I know that a lot of OBs have never heard of them or will tell you it's like the rhythm method and it doesn't work. The rhythm method is not a real fertility awareness method. The rhythm method is when you look at a calendar and you say, oh, I got my period on August 4th. So I'm going to have a 28-day cycle and ovulate on day 14 and then I'll get my period. That's not how we work. About 5 to 10% of women on any given month have a 28-day cycle with day 14 ovulation. Mm-hmm. So we are not robots. Ovulation is wildly sensitive to environmental stressors, things like sleep, sickness, alcohol, travel, like so many things can impact when we ovulate because ovulation is very taxing on our body, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't use the rhythm method. That's not real. But I just want to assure people that just because your OB has never heard of fertility awareness methods does not mean that they are not real and well-studied. They have been around for generations and they are truly scientific and they really, really do work. So I learned this method, avoided pregnancy with ease. What you do during your fertile window is up to you. You can abstain completely. You can use barrier methods. You know, it's up to you and your partner to decide. And then once we confirm ovulation and close your fertile window, you're free to go unprotected. You know, you don't have to worry about that the rest of your cycle. So I used that method to avoid pregnancy. I tapped into this like crazy feminine power where it was like, I knew when I was approaching ovulation, because I could feel the difference in my energy, in my libido, like my workouts were different. And then I knew when my period was coming because, oh, your period doesn't have to be a surprise. Like, I knew how long my luteal phase would be. I knew that my BBT or my, you know, my resting metabolic temperature would drop a little bit before I got my period. And it's like, I just tapped into so much power. And then when my husband and I were ready, I got pregnant on the first try. And I think a lot of that was knowing exactly when I'm fertile. And I think a lot of women out there are trying to conceive and they're missing their fertile window because they're relying on an app, right? Like Flow or Natural Cycles to tell them when they're fertile. Or they believe that they always ovulate on the same day every cycle, which is simply just not true. So we use it to get pregnant. And then when I was about like 6 weeks postpartum, I started charting my fertile signs again. And what was crazy was I was nursing round the clock. I was following all the criteria with like lactational amenorrhea method. And I ovulated at 2.5 months postpartum.
Oh my gosh.
and I got my period at 3 months postpartum.
Oh, wow.
So just goes to show that bioindividuality will always win. And now my daughter's 3 years, 3 months. I've been charting the entire time. No oops moments. No, like, oh my gosh, I need to take a pregnancy test. Like, it's just, it's so freeing. It truly is so freeing.
I totally relate to, like, the once you learn it, it's like you can just tell kind of like mentally, like, where you are. Like, you just tap in and you know, like, okay, yeah, I'm about to ovulate.
Yeah.
Like, the, okay, ovulation just happened. Like, your whole mindset changes, your energy, everything, like, foods you're into and your sex drive. Like, you totally, it's like, you know everything. And is it true that cervical position also is an indicator of where you are?
Yeah. So that's an option that a lot of women will add on to that symptothermal method or cervical mucus only. So our cervix changes position. So when we're fertile, when we're not fertile, I should start with, our cervix tilts back a little bit towards our rectum. It's hard and firm and closed. So if you, like, stick, you know, clean fingers up there, you can actually, like, feel it. It's just a little higher. And then when we're fertile, because remember, our body innately wants to get pregnant every cycle, right? Like, whether you want to or not, biologically, your body wants to. And so when we're fertile, to make it easier for sperm to, again, travel up, we have our cervical mucus, which gives them these channels to swim through, which you can actually, like, see under a microscope. It is so cool. Mm-hmm. And then our cervix tilts straighter and it's open and it's soft. So when you're infertile, it kind of feels like the tip of your nose, like that firmness. And then when you're fertile, it feels like pressing into your lip a little bit. Like, you can feel that difference. And then it literally opens up so that sperm can get on up there. And what's so crazy is last year I was doing my annual exam with my midwife and I knew I was super fertile. Like, I had copious amounts of, like, stretchy, clear egg white mucus. I had a really high libido. Like, and so I went in for my exam and she offered me, like, the pap smear, which I hadn't done in a few years. So I did it. And when she went up with the speculum, she was like, oh, wow, you are really fertile. Like, you have a lot of mucus. I was like, I know I'm fertile. Like, it was just so cool that she, like, could see that, you know? So, yeah. And now what's cool is, so I recently turned 38. And for the past almost year, I have been charting my transition into perimenopause with the same method. So again, this is one method I learned about 7.5 years ago. And I've used it now to avoid pregnancy, to get pregnant, to chart the return of my fertility postpartum, and now to chart perimenopause, which has been very interesting. If you're curious, I had, like, clockwork cycles, and then all of a sudden my cycles got crazy irregular for no other reason. And I've had a lot of, like, weird symptoms. So I feel confident that it's perimenopause, but now I'll be using this to chart really the rest of my reproductive lifespan, which is so cool.
I love how, like, nerdy and excited you get about this. Oh, that's so fun.
Talk about it all day long. But I want women to know that there are other options if their goal is just to avoid pregnancy, because we don't have to go on the pill or the IUD just because it's popular and our OBs push it.
That's amazing. I feel like people listening to this, it's going to open up, like, a whole new world to them, because we are just taught, like, all right, birth control or get pregnant. Like, there's no in between. But there's just so much. That's so empowering to know that, like, no, you have options. You don't have to rely on something to, you know, it's either use birth control and deal with the side effects, or it's like you can choose the natural option and you can avoid pregnancy successfully. That's just so cool to me.
100%. I will say, too, if people are, like, interested in learning from an instructor, my favorite app to use, and actually the only app that I recommend, because your data is really, really secure and there's no algorithms like there are with Flow or Natural Cycles, or what's the one that's really popular right now? Stardust. Have you heard of this? Everybody loves Stardust because it has these, like, quirky little, like, oh, like, you're about to ovulate, so, like, rev up your libido. Like, it has these little, like, quotes it'll give you that are kind of funny, but I'm like, but there's still no way to know that it's accurate, right? Because all of these apps just assume that you're always going to have a similar length of a cycle, which, again, we just can't always guarantee that. But with all of these apps, like, it just could be completely missing out on what your actual fertile window is. And I think women go to them because they don't want to be on birth control and they think it's, like, this great option, but it's not. And to your point, Jordan, it is not difficult to learn. I spend maybe 2 minutes a day using my method, and that's just checking for cervical mucus before and after I go to the bathroom, paying attention to the sensation as I wipe, And I do track my BBT, which I track it with something called Temp Drop, which you wear on your arm all night.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to get up and take my temperature, you know, at the same time every morning. It could not be easier. So it's maybe 2 minutes a day.
Yeah. If that. I've also heard that Oura Ring, because I was tracking my temp with Oura Ring, but then someone had said that that temp is actually not as accurate, because then it was freaking me out, because, like, you know, your temp is supposed to rise right before ovulation, and mine wasn't. So I was like, do I not ovulate? And the same thing kind of with my natural cycles, and I was using Anito. Have you heard of Anito?
Yes, I just used that for the first time.
Did you like it?
So, okay, I think Anito can be a really great tool if you're trying to conceive. And that's it. Like, we're not going to use Anito if we're trying to avoid pregnancy. If you're trying to get pregnant and you want to maximize your chances, it can do exactly what you just mentioned. It can confirm that you're ovulating, because maybe not all women know this, but getting a period every single cycle, or like bleeding every single month, does not indicate that you ovulated. A true period follows ovulation, but you can also bleed without ovulating. So I want to make that very clear. So I think the power of Anito is you can confirm ovulation. What was interesting, and I just tried this out just because a lot of my clients who are trying to conceive were curious about it. And I was like, let me just try it. And I used it. And first of all, I found it really annoying to pee on strips every day. I had never done that before. And I was like, oh gosh, this is so hard to remember in the morning. But I did it. And it did confirm ovulation at the same time that my fertility awareness method did, which was really cool. So like it narrowed in on the same window, but it did not open my fertile window until 3 days before ovulation. And as I mentioned, in the presence of cervical mucus, we have 5 days before ovulation that unprotected intercourse could result in pregnancy. So my fertility awareness method opened my fertile window like 4 days sooner. And that's not a big deal for me now, because we are avoiding pregnancy and I was just using this as like an experiment. But if you were trying to get pregnant, that would be like 3 days that you missed if you were only using Anito. So what I would recommend, because I think Anito is, it's easy and it can confirm ovulation. But if you are trying to conceive, I recommend also charting your cervical mucus. And again, the way that I recommend checking for cervical mucus is before and after you use the bathroom, wipe with like folded toilet paper, just in case there's only a little, because if there's only a little, it might get like, you know, stuck in a little crevice there. So flat toilet paper, you're going to wipe front to back. You're going to look at it. If you see anything wet or shiny, try to pick it up with your thumb and your index finger and stretch it. That right there, just doing that before and after you go to the bathroom every day, your cycle will tell you so much about like where you're at in your cycle, and it will teach you so much about your body. So I think Anito can be really helpful, and I would still recommend checking for cervical mucus. 100%.
I have beef with Anito. So I only used it for 1 month, but, and this, the same exact thing happened to my friend, Sarah. Like, PDG was not rising. So I was like, oh my gosh, something is horrible. Like, I'm not ovulating. And I freaked out, panicked. Luckily, I had taken a Dutch test the end of June.
Yeah.
And I just got those results back like a couple of weeks ago. And it confirmed like, oh, okay, my progesterone was literally perfect. But the Anito had told me I basically am producing no progesterone. The same thing happened with my friend, Sarah. She actually got pregnant, but she didn't know because it told her her PDG was so low. Like, I think it was like a one or a two. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm not ovulating either. Like, I need to go to the doctor. Something's wrong. Like, my hormones are so off. And she actually ended up being pregnant. And I know it said that Anito can be like inaccurate if you actually are pregnant. Anyway, when I did the Anito in July, it just basically said I did not produce any progesterone. So I panicked, like thinking, oh my gosh, my hormones are so messed up.
Yeah.
And then I got my Dutch test back and it was like perfect. So that's just something to be aware of. But like, I did love seeing my hormones rise and like match up to like, okay, I have ovulated, and then they're like going back down, all of that. But just something to look out for. If your PDG doesn't rise, it could be Anito's fault, not something wrong.
Well, I think it's important to know that PDG is a urine metabolite of progesterone, but it is not testing progesterone the way that it tests estrogen. So I think that's a good, that's a really good thing to bring up, because that is an important distinction. So if someone is interested in testing their progesterone, the Dutch test is 100% the best way to do it. If you can't afford a Dutch test, or you just want to do some lab work, what's important is to test the right time and test progesterone. We want to test 5 to 7 days after ovulation, which is, again, where charting your cycle and knowing when and if you ovulate is really important. So a needle, I think, can be a tool. But again, I think I would never recommend relying on it alone and not also charting your mucus if you're trying to get pregnant. Now, I also want to talk about the Oura ring because I know that's really trendy right now. I recently got a smart ring and I love it, but I did not get Oura. And one of the main reasons I didn't get Oura was their partnership with Natural Cycles, which again, like I can't be a certified fertility awareness educator and like support Natural Cycles in any way. But with that said, there's nothing wrong with Oura ring. And I think smart rings are wonderful. But the distinction here is your ring, whether it's Oura or any other, or even like your Apple Watch, I was trying to figure out where that was. They are tracking your skin temperature, not your basal body temperature. And that is an important distinction. Now, I have been wearing a ring for a month and a half now, and I actually also just got Femometer. I don't know if you've heard of that track as well. Just again, just like I did with Anito, I want to just do experiments because femtech is booming, right? Femtech is like a million-dollar industry, multi-million-dollar industry, and it's not slowing down because we want to feel empowered with our bodies. We want to learn about our bodies, but a lot of us want the easy route. So femtech is like having a moment, right? All of these apps and things. I will say there was just something that happened with the Flow app. Did you guys hear about this? Mm-mm. Where there was like a data breach? That was really scary. So I do want to encourage women to make sure that the apps they use are secure. And that's why Read Your Body is the only one that I use and recommend. And they also have a great educator directory. So if you want to learn a fertility awareness method and you know that you want to learn one with like Clear Blue monitoring, you can go there and you can filter. You can even filter by price range, like if people do local or in-person or virtual, things like that. So Read Your Body is just the best. But either way, so these apps are having a moment and rings and watches and all these things are having a moment. So I am testing out rings to see. What I've learned from a lot of my colleagues and some of my like classmates from the Just Seize program is that with some women, the skin temperature of like a ring or a watch can show that shift in your temperature after ovulation. For most of the women where it shows it, it's delayed. So you're likely not going to get as many days to go unprotected if you're trying to use this method as birth control. But I have not been able to confirm ovulation yet in the last, like, and it's only been a cycle and a half that I've been using the rings. I have not seen that shift. My temperatures are just kind of all over the place, which is why right now at this point, August 4th, 2025, the only wearable BBT I recommend for tracking temperature is TempDrop. I'm not ready to recommend rings or watches yet because we don't know enough to say for sure that they will confirm that temp shift, because that temp shift can be really small. It doesn't need to be this huge dramatic thing, right? So I'm not sure there. That's a TBD answer, but I would not personally right now, if a pregnancy would like ruin your life, right? So there's like a wide range of trying to avoid. There's, you know, trying to avoid zero where like you're not going to keep a pregnancy. There's trying to avoid like five where you're like, well, we don't really want to have another baby right now, but if we did, we'd accept it. It's a blessing. You know, we'd have the baby. There's so many options there, and only you and your partner can decide where you fall. Right now, if I really, really wanted to avoid pregnancy, I would not trust a ring or a watch to track my temperature at this.
I tell that to all my friends. And I have a handful of friends that have gotten pregnant on the Natural Cycles and the Oura ring. And I'm like, they'll text me saying, I'm getting an Oura ring to track my cycle. I'm like, that's not a way to track your cycle. No. I will say though, I used the Ava band for a really long time. Have you heard of that one?
Yes, I have.
And I loved it. That's what I used to track my temperature. And I did compare it to my Oura ring. And it was, I mean, not even no comparison to So
good to know. Yeah, I've heard of that one. I haven't tried, but
you should look into that because I love that one.
Yeah, I'm all about nerding out on data, so I will try anything just to see. And that's why I tried Anito, because obviously we're not trying to get pregnant right now, but I was like, huh, this is kind of cool. What I would caution women against is relying only on LH strips, because there's such a misconception out there that a positive LH test means that you're ovulating. That is not true. A positive LH test, which remember, that means the test line is darker than the control line, because a lot of women will be like, I got a positive, and then they'll show the picture and I'm like, no, that's not a positive. So a positive LH test may indicate that you are going to ovulate in 24 to 36 hours, because we do have to have a luteinizing hormone or LH rise, a huge surge right before our egg is released. That has to happen. But some women will have multiple surges before ovulation. This is very, very common in women with PCOS, which we know is very common right now. Some women may miss a surge, so they might just not be like testing their pee at the right time. They miss it and they still do ovulate, or you could surge and then not ovulate for a while. So like your body could be gearing up to ovulate and then something stops it, typically like stress, sickness, things like that. So I just caution against that because I think a lot of women are peeing on like a million LH tests and they think that that means that they're ovulating. So that to me is where something like a Neato has a leg up because you can confirm ovulation. However, you can also confirm ovulation with your basal body temperature, which is what I will continue to do because it's just easier for me.
I know it seems intimidating for people to like have to take their temperature every morning. That's why I like the wearable, the Ava band that I use or the temp drop because it helps women have the convenience, I guess, that they're looking for. But yeah, I also use instead of the Aneto, I tried out the Mira, which is a similar one. And I like that. But those are so expensive. So I would only use those if you're like, you know, like one of your last stops before going to a doctor or something because you're curious and like want to learn more. But like they're so expensive. So don't feel like you have to use those. Mm-hmm.
They really are. And then to get like the test strips and stuff. Yeah, I was between Aneto and Mira. I think from my research, Mira might have a little edge on like accuracy, especially if you have irregular cycles. Mm. But I think that one's also more expensive. So I'll stick to my BBT to confirm ovulation. But yeah.
Yeah, I got my Mira secondhand. I went on the Mira. If you're looking for one on the, they have a Facebook group and a lot of women do like a, oh, I'm done with mine, and they'll like donate theirs. But you still have to buy the strips, which are expensive. Yeah. But I think this was a great conversation. Do you have anything else, Maria Kate?
No, this was awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you on the internet?
So I am very active on Instagram. So my handle there is Clean Living with Carly. And it started like 5 years ago when my school shut down and I wanted to start like educating about kind of my journey with like low tox living, which I know you guys are passionate about too. And then it's just kind of grown in a ball from there. And now I share a lot of like crunchy mom stuff and obviously all of this like fertility stuff. And I thought about changing my handle, but it felt really overwhelming to do because that's like what I've been known for. So that's where I am on social media. And then I also have a website, cleanlivingwithcarly.com. So if anyone is interested in learning a fertility awareness method, or I just offer like one-off consults if someone's dealing with like, you know, painful heavy periods and their only answer from the OB is to go on the pill, I can help them, you know, holistically get to the root cause of those issues. Or if someone is struggling to conceive, I have a little program for that too. So. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I know we're going to have a lot of happy women listening to this because it's something we don't know about. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.